Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Friday morning. There is an odd blockbuster that could be happening any moment this morning, becoming official, but it seems like it's already official, according to many baseball insiders, the Mets, the Mariners, that Cano-Diaz trade, and what the Mets are giving back. And last night, just judging by Twitter and Mets fans on there, they're none too happy about Brody Van Wagenen dipping his toe into the water, more like just jumping head first into this offseason. And also, last night, a shocking result, at least for me. You may feel differently, but a shocking result on Thursday Night Football with the Cowboys and Saints. It's going to be a fun one today. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing great, Gio. And a couple things. You know, first, last night, the football game, defense finally played. You saw two defenses get after the opposing offenses and just absolutely knock the crap out of each other. And it was physical. It was nasty. It was fast. So this was the defense that Eli Manning and the Giants ran into earlier in the season.
Yep.
It had that same kind of feel to it. And, you know, the Cowboys were shut out in the second half. And the Cowboys tried to give the game to New Orleans via penalties. And there was a huge missed penalty on Jalen Smith, the linebacker, on his hit on Alvin Kamara on 3rd and 18 that should have given the Saints a first down. But, you know, it was a really intense game. And I think the whole intensity got ratcheted up earlier in the week by two people. One was DeMarcus Lawrence,
yep,
who played his ass off last night.
He said he was going to choke their ass out.
Right.
The Saints,
And he's playing on a $17 million one-year guaranteed contract. He's he's just one of the better pass rushers in football. And then, of course, Jerry Jones,
yep,
who said it's going to take a Herculean effort. It's going to take a Super Bowl-type effort. This is the kind of environment it was going to be. So the second half was not pretty. It was only 7 points scored. But when you look at the amount of plays, New Orleans only ran 49 plays.
I know. You look at some of the numbers.
Crazy.
It's just not them. What the shocking part of it was, is that this is a team that hadn't been shut down by anybody. Even the one game they lost at home, they were putting up points against the Buccaneers, who we know have a terrible defense. But I mean, it didn't look like the Saints. You know, it just didn't look. Every pass was contested. Drew Brees is getting sacked. They're not being able to run the football. Fourth down, of course, fourth and goal. They give the ball to Kamara. Looks like he's got an opening. And then, boom, he does it. And they get stopped, which is a huge play in the game in the first half.
Goes to show you what fast defenses can do. And look, you're not going to have your best game all the time. And, you know, the Saints, they're good at home, and they're going to be really tough out in the playoffs. There's no question about that. I still think they're going to be either the one or the two seed, depending on what the Rams do. And we wake up this morning, the Rams are now the number one seed,
right,
in the NFC. The Saints are number two. The Cowboys are number four. And, of course, the Chicago Bears are number three, who are coming in this week to play the Giants. But it was great. I don't know. You know, I love high-flying, you know, exciting football. I love the Rams, love the Kansas City Chiefs, love all that stuff, the Saints when they got it rocking and rolling. But there's something to be said about a really intense, competitive, tight football game.
Oh, sure. And it was all the way through. And, I mean, I really thought that there wasn't a point in the game until the very end of the game when things were salted away with the knees and Dak Prescott after the penalty on Amari Cooper in the end zone that gave them that first and goal with no more timeouts for the Saints. I mean, I thought the Saints were going to win. I really did, especially after the Dak Prescott fumble on third down in the red zone. I'm thinking, well, there it is. You just gave the game to the Saints. But no, the Cowboys defense steps up again. You get the interception, and that was that. So it was amazing to me that they were able to hold up 13-0. I thought that they were going to lose. Late in the game, I thought that they were going to lose. I thought the Saints would figure it out. But a Cowboys defense with one of the most impressive efforts that the NFL has seen this year on that side of the ball. That's what they did last night.
176 total yards for the Saints last night. You know, the Cowboys weren't much better. They're 308, and Dak was 24-28. The Cowboys did have the two turnovers. You know, the thing about it is that, you know, are you worried about the Cowboys? I mean, like,
no.
I don't think their offense is that great. Well, and I think that these two teams could meet in the playoffs, and if they meet in New Orleans, the game's going to be reverse.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking last night. So I said, all right, this is a good sign for other teams in the NFC that the Saints are capable of this if you are able to shut them down. It's still a big if, but chances are, unless you're the Rams, you're still going to have to go in there. I mean, the Rams played the Saints once. They went down to New Orleans. They ended up getting beat. It was a close game for a while. Then the Saints' offense took over. So, you know, how much of this performance last night changes your opinion on the Saints? And personally, it doesn't that much. I mean, I guess it shows you that they are capable of being beat by a really good defense, where I didn't think maybe that was a possibility before last night. But if you look at the rest of the season, who they'll be playing, where they're going to be playing every playoff game, except maybe the NFC Championship game, it's still going to be really, really tough to beat them.
It will be. And this is one of those games where they've won 10 games in a row. All right. So they've had
lost to the Bucks.
They've had an incredible run. So yep. This, while it does, it probably puts a little pale on their season and all that other stuff. It was a highly energized environment down there in Dallas. We knew it was going to be. You know, I didn't think they were going to score over 30 points. I thought it was going to be like a low-scoring game. I figured the Cowboys would cover the number, which they did, obviously, by winning. But I never expected this kind of performance. I expected a good performance, not a great performance, because that was a great defensive performance. And, you know, the Cowboy offense just was hanging on for dear life there at the end.
Right. Yeah, they were. And Amari,
I mean, I guess they could have scored, they could have kicked the field goal or whatever they wanted, but right, they didn't.
And also, another big play in this game, when the Cowboys are driving, trying not to give the ball back to the New Orleans Saints, and the Saints did get the ball back with the Prescott fumble, was the Cole Beasley. I mean, the guy is a yard and a half short of the first down on third and five. And they give him a first down, and Sean Payton doesn't have any challenges because he wasted two of them in the
He didn't waste two of them.
Well,
But
still, if you use two of them that early, you can't. You don't have later in the game.
So. I know that Joe Buck was questioning whether or not Sean Payton was doing the right thing, and I think Troy kind of kindly straightened Joe out on the second replay. He says, "Look, man, look where the ball is. It gives us a first down. It's inside the red zone. You have to take that one." The first one, he's listening to Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
Michael Thomas comes to the sideline. I had that coach. You know, and you want to believe your player. You want to buy into him. But there has to be somebody in the replay booth that says definitively, yes, he caught it. And if there isn't a definitive viewpoint of it, you can't throw the red flag just on, the hopes of the wide receiver. You know, they all think they catch everything.
Yeah,
so
of course.
I just, you know, and you'd love to say to Michael Thomas, you're a great player, okay, you're doing whatever you're doing, but just listen, let the replay speak for itself. Try not to influence the coach in any way, because he influenced the coach, and the coach reacted to it, and they lost the challenge, which ended up costing them later in the game. It's kind of like when the Cowboys burn timeouts for no reason.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you're on offense, there's really no reason to be burning timeouts. You got to be functioning solidly. You got to be able to communicate. You got to get going. And, you know, and Dak can't just take out an arbitrary timeout, and, you know, in the beginning of the third quarter, you just can't do that. But look, at the end of the day, that was a really spirited game.
Yeah, it was fun. It wasn't like we've seen the NFL this year before, because mostly offense, but it was fun. The other big story this morning, of course, coming from the baseball world and the New York Mets, and they are on the verge of acquiring Robinson Cano, of course, and also closer Edwin Diaz from the Seattle Mariners. And what the Mets end up paying in the contract and what they end up in the end giving up via prospects is going to be the determining factor of whether or not Mets fans hate this or not. But the deal that has been bandied about, a lot of Mets fans really don't like to hear, because you're bringing in a closer who, yes, is an all-star closer, and he's someone who can be dominant, but I mean, you can find a lot of back end of the bullpen guys out there without trading away big prospects, and you're getting a 36-year-old Robinson Cano who dealt with a PED issue last year, and you're still going to have to pay a chunk of that salary. So Brody Van Wagenen is not messing around. So You know, I'm torn.
So what's wrong with that?
I mean, well, there's nothing
what,
wrong with it.
Isn't that what we all want? Don't yeah, we want an yes, active general manager right, doing
but,
things?
But hold on.
Now the guy's starting to do stuff. Now we're going to sit in judgment
wait,
of it. Before.
No, wait. But hold on. Hold on a second. Right. I'll give you a couple of
so
things.
Angry with like last year we did nothing.
Well, hold on. I'll give you. But listen to me for a second, because I think I have a measured take on this. You're already barking at me. I think I've got a measured take.
Okay.
So I'm torn, and one of the reasons why I'm torn is exactly that, right? Because I did not want to go back into 2019 saying the same stuff, which was, if the Mets stay healthy and the pitching works out, they could be really good bringing back the same team. I didn't want that, right? I'm also not a guy who values prospects that we haven't seen do anything yet.
Who knows?
Based on the scouts, like a 19-year-old, like these Met fans, like, you can't put Kelenic in the deal. Absolutely not. I mean, you really don't know. I mean, how many of these guys have we gone through, whether it be F-Mart or whomever else,
and
they don't pan out to be anything, right? But the thing that I don't love,
F-Mart.
The thing that I don't love is if you're going to be trading these assets and you're putting guys like McNeil and Kelenic and some of these other guys in a deal, I don't necessarily want to get back a closer, which you know these guys are so hot and cold, and someone like Robinson Cano, who, what are you really getting?
So here's the point. So you have, let's see. You're going to end up giving up about $34 million in salary if Jay Bruce and Anthony Swarzak are in this deal. All right,
might be a little more than that, yeah.
All right, so it's about $34 million combined between the two of them. It's $26 million over two for Bruce, and it's $8 million next year for Swarzak. All right, so that's out the door, okay? And I guess I would think that Met fans are probably reasonably happy about that.
Yeah.
All right. Now you're bringing in a closer that you have 3 years of essentially control. You're paying him nothing this year, $570,000 or whatever it is, and then you have 3 years of arbitration rights for him, and you're still under control with him. So you have your defined closer that throws over 100 miles an hour. He's 25 years old. He's under control. So that part of it, you know, makes a lot of sense to me. Makes a ton of sense to me because we don't have a closer right now. That's why I was talking about Zach Britton possibly. But supposedly all the analytics, everybody that talks about this kid, Diaz, he's the guy. He is the guy that everybody covets. And I'm like, you know, I'm damn glad we're going to get that guy.
Yeah.
Because that guy becomes a really big, important piece.
Yeah, I agree. Yes.
To what our team really needs.
Right.
All right. So, that's one good thing. Now, as far as Robbie Cano is concerned and his salary. Now, it's being reported that it looks like they're going to take back about $50 million worth of salary. All right, so it's a little less than half of what he's owed. And what are we going to get out of him? We're probably going to get 2 years, I would think, of potentially 25 home runs and maybe 85 to 90 RBIs. And I know that that is aggressive thinking because of his age, but I do think that there is something to be said about him coming back to New York. It sounds like Brody Van Wagenen wants to make that happen for his former client, that he wants to be back here, that he wants to come back home. And if you say back home, I know it's the Yankees, but it's still New York. And it sounds like there's a little of that in this whole mix as well. And, I don't know what to tell you. If you get two really solid years out of him, then I think this is worth the money and it's worth the moving around. And I don't know anything about those prospects. I have no idea.
Right.
But
you know McNeil. I mean, you've seen McNeil.
Yeah,
and he's
that.
Been talked about in the deal.
Well,
you know, the other two guys,
Dunn
and he might be in the deal, though.
I know.
Now, Dunn and Kelenic, those two guys, you know, John Harper, who is someone that, you know, I trust his opinion, was tweeting out some stuff about how scouts love Kelenic. I mean, there's not a thing that can be said to me about a 19-year-old who spent some time in rookie ball where I'm going to believe it, right?
Scouts love Juan Lagares.
Right, I mean,
Scouts love this one. Scouts love that one. I get it. But really, what the scouts really do love, they all love Edwin Diaz. They all love that guy. That guy is a proven commodity, and he's cheap. That's what you're getting here. That's ultimately the linchpin for the Mets. So if you have this great pitching staff, adding maybe one of the best closers in the American League, to me, that's important. That's an important add. And then they're willing to eat some of the money and take some of the money on. I'm good with it. I mean, if that's going to be our guy. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. I have to see the deal at the end of the day.
Right. Well, that's a big part of it.
Because we're all speculating what the deal it looks like or what and who's a part of it.
Well, I think that the parameters are basically there. Like, we know the players that are going to be in it. We just don't know if one of them is going to be left out. And we also don't know the totality of the money that the Mariners are going to assume from the Cano contract. So, I mean, I need to see those two things to decide as well. But this also brings up the question of, and apparently they've been very, very aggressive with the Noah Syndergaard trade. If you're going out to get a great closer and a guy in Robinson Cano, who you know that this year and next year are going to most likely be his most productive years in this five-year contract that he has at his age,
You're winning now.
Right. Why are we trading away Noah Syndergaard now if we're not getting back guys that are going to be on that opening day roster and out there in the starting lineup? Like, you can't sell me a Noah Syndergaard prospect package now if you're making this deal.
Well, here's the other aspect of this. I think we as fans have a much better feeling about Noah Syndergaard. Like, we like him. We seem to really, like, he has been, like, injury prone. He's been, you know, he gets out there, tries to throw the ball through the backstop as opposed to pitching, things of that nature. You know, they may look at him a little bit differently than we do internally as fans. That's all I'm saying. And I think if they do trade him, I would like to think that they will get a package back that will enforce this team moving forward in 2019. This is not about 2022.
Exactly.
That the Mariners are about 2022. We are about 2019.
If you're making this deal,
yes,
right? Like, Brody is now planting the flag that he wants to win in 2019 if he makes this deal. So if he ends up trading Syndergaard and you get a bunch of guys that are what ifs,
let's wait and see.
But I'm just saying. But that's what I've heard. And waiting and seeing. A lot of this stuff's panning out. Like, a lot of the stuff that were rumors is now panning out. So that's what I'm thinking about the Syndergaard deal. And I just hope that if they end up trading him, you are improving your roster for right now as well. So, I mean, but I am with you. I do love the fact, and we'll see what this deal ends up being, but I love the fact that this is not the same approach. I couldn't take another year of saying the same old stuff about the pitching stays healthy. If the team stays healthy, then they can compete and blah, 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 and this division. No. Something needed to change. And Brody Van Wagenen at least has recognized that. Let's see if he makes the right changes and builds this team into a contender right away.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.